Bhajjanaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhajjanaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Vijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Bhajjana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana. Yasoda Nandana Bhajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Muna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Bhajjana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana. Yasoda Nandana Bhajjana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhajjana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhajjana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Chira Vanachari. Yamuna Chira Vanachari. Yamuna Chira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Rava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna. Rama, Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jai 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 Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajikacharya Sotara Sattva Srishimad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvati Gachaya Stotra Sata Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Ramsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Gopadan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham ki, Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya. Hare Krishna. Good morning, everybody. So, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. Well, in another book, that would be a horrible thing, wouldn't it? To read about how somebody surrendered their life. But in our book, it's like, Kijai! Right? It's the happiest occasion. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is text 21. You tell me to read 24, and we'll chant 21. Okay. Shri Brahma Vacha Bhuta Bhavana Bhuteshu Deva Deva Jaganmaya Munchainam Rita Sarvasvam Nayam Arati Nigraham Brahma Vacha Shri Brahma Vacha Bhuta Bhavana Bhuteshu Deva Deva Jaganmaya Munchainam Rita Sarvasvam Nayam Arhati Nigraham Shri Brahma Vacha Bhuta Bhavana Bhuteshu Deva Deva Jaganmaya Munchainam Rita Sarvasvam Nayam Arhati Nigraham Oh, Bhutesha, what did I say, Bhuteshu? Deva Jaganmaya Bhutesha Bhutesha. Shivamo vacha Bhuta bhavana bhutesha Deva deva jaganmaya Munchainam sarvasvam nayam arhati nigraham. Anybody else? Ladies? Bhuta bhavana bhutesha. Vacha Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha Deva Deva Jaganmaya Bhuta Bhavana Sri Brahma Vacha. Lord Brahma said, Bhuta Bhavana, O Supreme Being, well-wisher of everyone, who can cause one to flourish. Bhuta Isha, O Master of everyone, Deva Deva, O worshipful deity of the demigods. Jagat Maya, O all-pervading one. Muncha, please release Enam, this poor Bali Maharaj. Rita Sarvasvam, now bereft of everything. Na, not. I am such a poor man. Arhati deserves nigraham punishment. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead. Now this man has been sufficiently punished, for you have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. Report by Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Brahma saw that Prahlad Maharaj and Vrindavali had already approached the Lord to ask mercy for Bali Maharaj, he joined them and recommended Bali Maharaj's release on the grounds of worldly calculations. Interesting. Again, we'll look at this a little bit and then read some more. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisam Stapidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dirati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaisnavam Chad Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakan Vitam Cha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindha Dinabandha Jagatpate Govesha Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatade Shatarane. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Now this is interesting. So we've heard the prayers of Prahlad and good wife of Bali Maharaj. She also chastised him. We heard that yesterday. For foolishly thinking that he had to had anything to give the Lord in the first place. Actually, you don't even own this body, so how can you think that it's yours and give it in charity? And Prabhupada explained elaborately in the purport that this is actually kind of a demoniac mentality. Because Krishna actually owns everything, and yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva vajamyaham. But living entity wants to occupy that position and also be the charitable well-wisher of others. But actually we can only be the servants of Krishna. That's our position. So there's some interesting words in this verse, bhuta bhavana. This word Buddha appears in the Bhagavad Gita, and the living entity is addressed in various ways as jiva, as atma, like that. And specifically, Buddha, it means is a name for the living entity that means this kind of combination of matter and spirit, one who has a material body. This word is never used for Krishna. Bhuta is never used for Krishna. Rather, he's the Bhuta Bhavana. He's the friend of the Bhutas. So in the material world, we have this composite personality, this Atma, in our actual self, the conscious being who experiences everything. And we have this body, which is, of course, subtle body, mind, false ego, intelligence, which is the result of so much conditioning, so many samskaras, so many wrong ideas, and has produced this gross body. So the living entities in this world are called Buddha, because we're kind of a composite. And we've forgotten our spiritual identity. So it's interesting. The Lord here is addressed as the Bhuta Bhavana, who can allow these Bhutas to flourish, and the Bhuta Isha, the Lord of the Bhutas. Of course, the problem, for the big issue for the Bhutas is that they want to be in that position. Hasn't worked out so well for millions of years, but we're trying. One day we'll succeed at being the Lord of everything. And he is Deva, the Deva, or the Lord of the Devas, Lord of the demigods. Jagat Maya, he's a all-pervading one. Maya means like the nature of something. So he's the all-pervading, or the substance, you can say that, of the universe. Actually, as Krishna says, my sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva, the universe appears to be acting in and of itself. We see things, as being substantial, right? This table, substantial. This world appears to be very substantial, but Krishna says it's actually resting on him. It's like pearls are strung on a thread. So it would just all, interesting thought, isn't it? This whole substance would just collapse into nothing, except that Krishna is pervading everything. and sustaining it. It looks, the world looks real. This mentioned first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam also, that this, because of him, this world, which is actually illusory, it's just whirling molecules, just matter, just stuff. But it appears to take on certain forms and have a certain type of reality, a certain substance, because of Krishna, because of Krishna's power, he gives it that reality. And Bhagavatam says, even to the demigods, they also fall for it. They also believe the illusion and sometimes get into trouble. I was thinking yesterday how, in this verse yesterday, that how it's mentioned that the demigods, you know, the difference between them and demons is that they recognize the proprietorship of the Lord. But we see that they don't always do that. Sometimes they get confused. Like, for instance, when Krishna came to the heavenly planets, and was it Satyabhama that wanted the Parijata flower? Satyabhama. And Indra was like, no way. This, you're not taking the heavenly Parijata flower to the earthly planets, that the bad neighborhood. It's meant for the heavenly planets. You can't do that. So they actually got in a fight, right? Yeah. So this is the nature of the material world, that even the demigods, Prabhupada says about the demigods that they're devotees who want to enjoy the material world as devotees. So anyway, Lord Brahma is very intelligently glorifying the Lord in these different ways and pointing out his actual position. But then he concludes, so please don't, you've punished him enough. Of course, he says that this is worldly calculations. But, I mean, honestly, if we're being punished by the Lord, would you want to be released from that? Not really, personally. It's so wonderful. He has the mercy of the Lord. Please place your last step on my head. So it's not punishment. It's actually mercy. It's great mercy. So anyway, we can read some more. Actually, that's a nice point. We should consider that. It's often said, whatever Krishna does is all right. You've probably all heard that story, right? Whatever Krishna does is all right. Yeah? No? Oh. Okay. Well, I'll tell it quickly. I was just going to mention it and move on. But anyway, so once there was a king, and he had a minister, a very trusted minister, who was a great devotee of the Lord. And the minister, no matter what happened, he would always say, whatever Krishna does is all right. So one day, the king, let's see, how's it go? If somebody remembers it, they can help me out, because my memory's failing. But the king was out traveling, and the minister was ill, all right, that day. And he couldn't travel with him. So the king was out by himself, and somehow or other the king was captured by some dacoits who were worshippers of Durga Devi, I believe. And they decided that they were going to sacrifice the king. There's a part before that. Oh, that's it. Okay, so before this, got it. Thanks. It's all coming back to me now. So he got a gift of a sword, and when he pulled the sword out, he actually cut his finger off. And he was, you know, of course, very disturbed by that. And but the minister said, whatever Krishna does is all right. And the king was very angry that he could just be so callous and react that way, you know. So he actually threw the minister in jail, right? And then he decided to go hunting. And then he was captured by the dacoits. He was out by himself. So the dacoits were actually going to sacrifice him to Durga Devi, and they bathed him, and they were ready for the sacrifice. And then they noticed that he was missing a finger. And so he wasn't a fit offering for Durga Devi, so they just let him go. And he went back. So he released the minister. He said, I'm so sorry, you were right. Whatever Krishna does is perfect. You were right. I'm so sorry. But there's one thing I was wondering. Why did Krishna let you get thrown in jail? And the minister said, well, if he hadn't have, I would have been with you. And I mean, my body is fine. So they would have sacrificed me. So anyway, it's a little story. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So, yeah, so that's if we... This is what of course we have to try to learn as we go on in devotional service. First of all, we have to see that everything that happens to us is in fact coming from Krishna. It's not a mistake. Krishna's Ishvara, he's controlling everything, but this thing that happened to me just now, that was an accident. So we have to try to see that way. And even if we become angry or disturbed, we have to accept that, well, Krishna wants to teach me something. There's a really, I've often thought of this example of Srila Prabhupada, that he was discussing this point, and he said, sometimes you will see that Krishna is doing something against your will. He said that. And he was referring to a time in his life that he had mentioned that he was, according to his astrological calculation, he was supposed to be like a Birla, you know, just like a very, very wealthy person. Of course, he was in later life in a different way. But somehow or other that never happened, and he had a business which could have been very successful, but he had one, I think, partner or something that cheated him, and anyway, the whole business was destroyed overnight. Just you know, the successful business was just whoosh, down the drain. And so he said that, so I was thinking, Krishna is doing something against my will. I didn't want this to happen, and Krishna allowed this to happen. So when he was explaining this, it was almost like you know, very childlike, that, you know, Krishna, why are you doing this? but he accepted that, well, Krishna let it happen. And he obviously thought, he immediately thought, well, Krishna's letting this happen, or Krishna's arranging this. He didn't think, why is this happening? How could this have happened to me? My astrological calculation was that I should be wealthy, you know. What's wrong here? You know, there was, you know, none of that kind of thinking. He had a different plan. He was surprised. Such an amazing example. But he immediately accepted it was Krishna. So that's a pure devotee. I remember having a conversation with Giriraj Swami one time, and I was a kind of a difficult place in my life and wondering what to do. And I commented to him, well, I guess if I was more Krishna conscious, I would know what to do. And he was quiet for a moment, and he thought, and he said, well, I don't know that Prabhupada always knew what to do. I thought this is very wonderful. It's not that he's the all-pervasive super soul. He's a servant of Krishna. Certainly he's in touch with the super soul. He said, and he gave a story. You probably all know the story of the Juhu temple. Yeah? You know that story a little bit. Anyway, they had this temple property. And this Mr. N, can't say the name, was in cahoots, you know, with the municipality, and he had already done this before. He'd sold that property to other people, collected the money, and then somehow or other taken the property back and kept the money. This was his tactic. And he, you know, he had cooperation from government officials and so forth. So they, so that was the land at Juhu. That's now our temple there. So they had bought this land, and then he, you know, conspired to take it back, and actually the sent gundas to, and Prabhupada understood this, and they built a temple overnight and installed the deities, because in Indian law, you know, you can't destroy a temple. You can't take land back that belongs to the deity. As Prabhupada in his words said, I'm a Calcutta boy. Yes, he's a smart guy. I mean, besides being a pure devotee, he was very intelligent. So, anyway, this whole thing transpired, and Giriraj Maharaj says that afterward, the thing that actually made it so difficult was that our own lawyer, who Prabhupada had trusted, was actually in cahoots with Mr. Nair, and we didn't know that. So that's what made it even more difficult, is that our lawyer was working to cheat us as well. So, and as, you know, and like I said, Prabhupada was, you know, Prabhupada was sharp, to say the least. So he was thinking later, kind of musing out loud, that why didn't I know this? You know, he can read people. You know, why didn't I know that our lawyer was working, you know, with Nair to cheat us? Why didn't I know this? He was just kind of thinking in this way. And, you know, he was thinking, and then finally he said, well, Krishna didn't want me to know. So he just accepted. So I thought that was really interesting. So Maharaj said that it's not that even the pure, most advanced devotees like know everything in the way that Paramatma knows everything. That's not their position. But what is their situation is that they always accept Krishna's arrangement. And every action they take is for Krishna's pleasure. That's the mark of their being a true devotee, that they're surrendered to Krishna in all circumstances. They may understand what he wants to do, they may not, but whatever Krishna does is all right, and they're prepared to serve Krishna under any circumstance, and that's actually the nature. And of course, oftentimes Krishna does give them amazing knowledge. There is examples of how Prabhupada knew things that just nobody could have possibly known. And, you know, that was Krishna giving him that intelligence. Hare Krishna. So, oh yeah. So the idea was that we should try to develop in this way to see everything in our circumstances coming from Krishna, and accept Krishna's plan for us, and try to learn what we can from the situation. So, how are we doing? Okay. Got till 8:30? Everybody okay? We haven't lost anybody yet? So, Krishna te anena datta bur loka larmai jitas cheye Nivedita cha sarvasvam atma viklavaya dhyā. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything. So this is still Brahma speaking. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship without hesitation. He has offered you his land, the planets. He actually had the whole planetary system. And whatever else he earned by his pious activities, including even his own body. Next verse. By offering even water, newly grown grass or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? So this is a very nice verse. Yat padayo astadhi, a great-minded person. Yeah, so this is the translation. Prabhupada translates this word in that way as ashtadhi. Great-minded person who is without duplicity. Yat padayo, he's offered to your lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, as we'd expect, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmana, which means, it's not a translation here, we all know this verse, right? Patram, pushpam, patram means leaf, right? Pushpa, flower, palam, fruit, toyam, water, right? Yome bhaktya prayachati, one who offers me with devotion. Tadaham bhakti paritam, it's repeated twice. It's got to be with devotion. I think that in this verse, that can be taken as without duplicity. Ashnami prayatamana, I will accept that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind that if an unsophisticated person with devotion and without duplicity offers at the lotus feet of the Lord a little water, a flower, a fruit, or a leaf, the Lord accepts it. Then the devotee is promoted to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Brahma drew the Lord's attention to this subject and requested that he release Bali Maharaj, who was suffering, being bound by the ropes of Varuna, and who had already given everything, including the three worlds and whatever he possessed. Was this the last verse, or we read the next one also? Prabhu? Read the next one also. Just a word about the, well, I'll probably continue the same point. So, now the Lord is going to speak. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Brahman Yam Anugri Nami, Tadvisho Vijinom Yaham, Yan Madha Purusha Stabdo, Lokam Mam Chavamanyate. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Lord Brahma, because the material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. Such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. That's interesting. This Krishna. Purport. A civilization that has become godless because of material advancement in opulence is extremely dangerous. Because of great opulence, a materialist becomes so proud that he has no regard for anyone and even refuses to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The result of such a mentality is certainly very dangerous. To show special favor, the Lord sometimes makes an example of someone like Bali Maharaj, who was now bereft of all his possessions. So this, it's interesting, this story I told of Srila Prabhupada losing everything. He quoted another verse, which I can remember. Harisham Tadanam Shanai, Harishe Tadanam Shanai. You know this verse? No, it's elsewhere. Somebody else. Oh, pundits. Know this verse. Anyway, Harishe Tadanam Shanai. It's Yashyaha Manugrinami. That's it. It is here? Oh, that's fourth canto, yeah. So that's nice, yeah. Yasyaham anugrinami, same thing. To show, this word is used here, to show special favor, to show mercy to someone. Yasyaham anugrinami. That's why people don't worship Krishna. Because when he shows you special mercy, he takes everything away. Better worship Lord Shiva. So, of course, this is special. This doesn't actually happen for everyone. And so Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse when his business was taken away. Yashyaham anagrinami harishe tadanam shanai. What's the next line? Huh? Tajant yasya swajana duke dukitam. Yeah. And his relatives think, ugh, who needs this guy? He doesn't have any money anymore. Get rid of him. So this is actually mercy from the Lord that to be relieved of this burden of it's actually here, this madha, this madness that comes due to prestige and money. When stubda, it's also used, dull-minded, people actually become intoxicated with their wealth. I mean, we have ample examples in modern history, leaders, not mentioning any names, who are intoxicated with pride and a little bit of wealth, and they're just idiots, you know, basically fools. So material nature works in that way that it takes everything away from them. And the Lord is stating to Brahma here that actually this was my mercy upon this person to relieve him of, because he's, after all, the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj and a great devotee. So I'm showing mercy to him by relieving him of this great burden, and he can surrender unto me. So it's very interesting in the previous verse that this Prabhupada stresses this idea that without duplicity, of course there's a famous Om Namo story you might have heard. There's a man that's carrying a big basket of puffed rice, right? Puffed rice is very light. So he's carrying this basket, and all of a sudden the wind blows it away. So he's going to lose everything. So as the wind is blowing it away, he goes, Om Namo. Lord, I offer this unto you. I'm going to lose it anyway. So, Lord, I'm giving you everything. So this is one way we make an offering Or the other story is the man who went to the races, and he was going to bet on the horses. He said, "My dear Lord, if you just let me win, I'll give you half of whatever I earn in this race." So his horse doesn't quite win, but the man still makes money on the race. He's like second place or something like that. So he makes about half of what he would if he would have if the horse would have won. So he prays to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, you're so merciful. You let me win this money, and you already took your half." So anyway, in this way we make our sincere offerings to the Lord, right? That it's just for you, Krishna. I'm doing this just for you. So Srila Prabhupada stresses this point that we don't actually have to have much to give to Krishna. Anyway, what do we have to give to Krishna? Nothing is ours. But if we can do so with sincerity, then that will be accepted by him. He'll accept that offering. And in fact, Bali Maharaj's offering was completely sincere. He knew, this is Krishna, I'm going to lose everything. But this was his glory, therefore he's our Mahajan. And Krishna reciprocated wonderfully. He took everything. He took everything. Bali Maharaj offered everything, and Krishna took everything. So this is a perfect offering and perfect acceptance. But of course we know Bali Maharaj was not the loser in any respect, because he gained Krishna. Right? Just like also there's the story of Dhruva Maharaj, who was worshipping the Lord to get a kingdom, and when he finally got the kingdom, the Lord said, "Okay, here's the kingdom. See you later." So he was so disappointed that I was performing. Let's you know that verse also. Forgot all my verses. Anyway, another famous verse. So he said that I was actually trying to get a broken piece of glass. I was worshiping you to just get a broken piece of glass, this kingdom. But actually, I've gotten a great jewel. So I'm so satisfied that I don't want anything from you. Hare Krishna. So, any questions, comments, refutations? Yes, Prabhu? Oh.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I was wondering, you know, that Bali Maharaj's wife, when she criticized Bali Maharaj for, you know, offering, trying to thinking that he possesses something and is going to offer to the Lord in sacrifice. Mm. She was very
She was heavy,
very very as heavy only a and wife critical. Can be. And and Prabhupada also sort of like in the purport he sort of like
he didn't like make light of it. He was like
but Brahma, he recognized, he actually praised, which is, you know, when I heard the criticism of Bali Maharaj, I was like, no. I mean, because we've been hearing the pastimes, and you get the sense of he's what Lord Brahma said, that he was completely understanding and not duplicitous about it. Yeah. He's level of consciousness when he performed the offering was just to please the Lord.
Yeah.
So, although she was very intelligent, And as Prabhupada mentioned,
how
we can understand that she was not seeing that and was critical to Bali Maharaj, especially how exalted, obviously, he's being recognized by all, by his actions.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure I can give an authoritative answer, but one, everything has, just like Arjuna, you know, on one hand, you know, when he was, you know, he was kind of cracking up and he couldn't fight. And Krishna said, you know, have these impurities come upon you. You know, this is non-Aryan. You're just in the bodily conception of life. So he was criticized. On the other hand, the reason that he had those feelings was that he was a devotee of Krishna. He was very soft-hearted. He was naturally soft-hearted. So there's that paradox in there that on one hand, on one hand he's glorified, and on another hand he's criticized. So I would take it that ultimately he is glorified. He's surrendered everything. He's perfect. He surrendered everything to Krishna. But this is the standard of the Bhagavatam, that's such a high standard that to point out even a little flaw like this, to think that this body belongs to you and that you have something to give. So it's a very high, high level of understanding. And Bhagavatam, you know, points out everything. My understanding is in the ultimate issue, there's no fault in him. But it's that example is there for our understanding that we really can't even claim our body to be our own. Also, if your wife chastises you, you should listen to her. That's the other purport. Is that any other thoughts on this?
Yeah. Not our bodies even belonging to ourselves. What about our actual selves, like our souls belonging to Krishna? We don't even belong to ourselves.
That's true. We belong to Krishna. Yeah, the devotee feels like that. I'm Krishna's in every respect. Actually, we are. Everything is Krishna. Prabhupada would sometimes explain that everything is Krishna, right? This material energy is Krishna's. You know, I'm sitting on this cushion. I'm sitting on Krishna. Body is Krishna's. My very self is an energy of Krishna. So from one point of view, that says a Chinchabeda Tattva, from one point of view, everything is Krishna. So, but simultaneously one and different. So yeah, nice point. So yeah, I guess in this example that it points out that there's still some difference in thinking that this is my body. Nice point. Thank you.
He said that it's actually an instruction directed at us, the followers of the Mahajans, that we may think, oh, just like Bali Maharaj, I will offer my, you know, my. So yeah, don't remember that it's not yours to be offered. It's already Krishna's.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class very much. This verse, this last verse you were reading, it says, the Lord says, material opulence makes one, when you have material opulence, you lack respect. And when I read this passage, the thing I appreciated is that even though Vamana begged for charity from Bali because he was rich, he also begged from charity from Sudama Brahmana, you know, chit rice. And I kind of appreciate that because in the material world, nobody has to teach us to respect rich donors or young and beautiful women or respect our friends. We don't respect our enemies. So my question really is related to this point is that the Lord says, due to lack of respect, I take away your opulences. And yesterday you were mentioning that when you had a business, you were wondering how money's going to come in. But we can see that people who have money, Krishna takes away their most prized possession, their love, their bhakti. We can see that rich people, if everything doesn't go their way, you know, you're poor, you're unhappy. So how can we come to the stage that just because I have money, I have Krishna's mercy, but you're unhappy? So what is the use of your Krishna's mercy if you're unhappy? So how do we come to the stage that, you know, the real possession is the Krishna bhakti?
I didn't exactly understand the last part of what you said. If we have money, we have Krishna's mercy.
A lot of times when people, we read these verses, so we think if I have money, I have possessions, I have Krishna's mercy. But if we're envious, if we're proud, if everything doesn't go our way, then what is the use of our
we'll
money?
Be unhappy regardless.
And a real happy, the possession is Krishna bhakti. That's the, and how do we come to that stage or come to that, remember it every moment?
Well, that's why we're here. Same answer to yesterday's question. It takes time to realize these things. But we do, it's a process of devotional service that we get some experience of Krishna consciousness, we get some experience of having Krishna's association, feeling Krishna, feeling the happiness of Krishna in our life. And whether we have possessions or don't have possessions, that's not an issue, because we see many great devotees. Actually, that takes a great amount of Krishna consciousness to have handle wealth and not become distracted or disturbed by it. So some great devotees, of course, like the Pandavas, they were extremely wealthy. Others also, Maharaj Ambarish. But they were in the position to realize that that's not the source of my happiness, and actually they could live with it or without it. It wasn't anything for them. In fact, the devotee would sometimes prefer to live without it because it's a bit of a burden. So, but either rich or poor. Whatever it is, that's the realization that we gain as we go on in devotional service, that what I really need is Krishna, and I need to love Krishna. That's what I need. There's nothing more. If I'm lacking, if I'm unhappy, it's because I don't love Krishna. That's the only thing that's missing in my life. If I have that, everything is fine. And realization grows. That's the nature of devotional service. It's the nature of chanting, that we get a little taste, we move forward, and, you know, like I said yesterday, bhakti yo-yo, back and forth, trying out the material world again. Oh, no, there's something here. Nope. Wrong again. So this going back and forth gradually fixes us. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing. We go through different planetary systems, you know, comes to the point, you know, like it's described that the pure, you know, yogi, he's going back to God and he sees all the planetary systems, all the opulence, all the wealth, and he just like, see you later, you know. But a less advanced person thinks, let me pull off here and check this out, right? So it's a process of developing our, you know, attachment to Krishna, and ultimately, yeah, this is the Lord's arrangement to try to enjoy the material world and find out that matter, subtle or gross, can't really satisfy our heart.
That's what we're doing. We're finding out birth after birth that matter doesn't satisfy me. Only Krishna will. But the process of devotional service, especially chanting Hare Krishna, it accelerates that. We're very fortunate to have this process, and we can even to be able to read these books and discuss these things, to understand these things. Most people take up religious life to get them, right? Isn't it? They go to church, synagogue, and their whole idea is, how do I get all this stuff? How can I get some more stuff? That's why they do it. Totally like what's said here, duplicity. My Lord, I love you. Give me this, give me this, give me this. But we're so fortunate we have the pure, spotless Purana, which teaches us, these subtle things, even the body. And Palimaras is chastised for giving his body because he thought it was his. That was such, pure philosophy we're given in Bhagavatam. So we've got the suitable boat to understand this life. Question. So I guess we should stop here. Or do we have
a few things came to mind when you were talking about Srila Prabhupada being perplexed that the Lord wasn't giving him the knowledge that he needed to handle a certain situation. But I remember he was in class one time and somebody asked him, Prabhupada, do you know everything? And he says, I know what Krishna wants me to know.
Yeah.
So that kind of came to mind. And then another thing is, we're talking about possessions and stuff, and I've heard this one slogan in the Western world that resonates, he who has the most toys wins. Mm-hmm. You know, and another one was, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine also. You know, so there's no end to their greed, or of course Mahatma Gandhi said there's enough for every man's need but not every man's greed. Another thing is, we're talking about character all the time, and remember a saying that character is like glass, even a little crack will show. And he also said, this movement is going on due to my intelligence and your cooperation. So those are a few things that came to mind. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I got to tell a story. It's real quick. When you said it's going on by my intelligence and your cooperation, the classic thing that used to happen when Srila Prabhupada would come to a temple, he would always say, why does it always smell like wet paint? Because right? The devotees would have stayed up all night, fixing it up, painting, and then they'd be totally exhausted. So there was an example like that in Los Angeles, and he's giving class in L.A. temple. He just arrived, and everybody in the whole temple room is asleep. The sannyasis, everybody's just like, And Prabhupada's giving class. Bhadri Narayan tells the story. He was cooking, I think, for the deities. So he was, I don't know if you've ever been in the LA temple, but from the kitchen, you can come in the back way and see the Vyasa-san, right there. You're kind of all near the Vyasa-san. So he was cooking and he had a break and he just wanted to run in and see Srila Prabhupada, of course. So he, he peeks out through the door and he sees everybody just in this ocean of sleeping souls, and Prabhupada's giving class. And just at that moment, Prabhupada says, so this movement is going on by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya alone. And he looks over his glasses at everyone. He says, that is a fact. It happened lots of places. We had so much taste for hearing.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Grandhiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi.